Thank you, Father, that we have this wonderful no-soul salvation. We come in the name of your precious Son who made it possible and believe that as Paul wrote, if while we were yet sinners, in due time Christ died for the ungodly, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So we look to your bountifulness this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. In Proverbs 31 and 28, as we read in this chapter of the 40 qualifications of a virtuous woman, and know that it points forward to the time that the bride of Christ will answer to this description. Yet there is a text here that I would draw your attention to this morning. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Now, I've seen mothers in my years in the ministry that had fallen to just about the lowest level of moral standard and society as it was possible to do. And I've seen the Lord Jesus Christ get a hold of those same women and completely change them until they would compare with any of womanhood. There are no more beautiful stories of mothers than those that the Bible tells. And the Bible is woman's glory. And most always, the Bible exalts woman. And wherever the Bible holds sway, woman is given her rightful position. And nothing else can ever challenge that position. The Bible sets women free. And a man who claims himself as being pleasing to God, and yet is despotic in his home, thinking of his wife as someone who should obey him like a child, isn't pleasing to God as he claims to be, regardless of his claim. Now, the Bible sets woman free, and it abounds with stories of her character and of her beauty and of her achievements. Jochebed, whose name means her glory is Jehovah, she did just that. Remember, she was the mother of Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. You know, any woman could have felt so fulfilled if she'd have raised any one of those three children. But Jochebed raised three in the most difficult time that circumstance could afford. You think you can't raise your child for God? Jochebed lived in a day when Pharaoh's rule was so ironclad that he could give an order and all the Hebrew women's babies would be destroyed as soon as they were born. That is, all of them except Jochebed. She believed God, and thus she chose to defy Pharaoh. And you know what happened? The man that would have killed little Moses because of that woman's faith, God made that man raise Moses.
That's right.
Educate him. Take care of him and his mother and his family to boot. You see, she became the nurse of her own child. She just didn't have to get out there and work with the rest of the slaves anymore because she believed God. Now, I don't want to bog down in this because I want to get through. But then Hannah, whose highest praise is that she was the mother of Samuel, who dedicated him to the Lord when he was a baby. And then Deborah, who hurled back the hosts of the enemy as she won a battle that men feared to get into. We think of Abigail, how she kneeled at the foot of the mountain until 400 angry and vindictive men turned back from that which they were about to do. Then you have Ruth, who was the queen of the harvest fields. Then beautiful Esther, who made that great statement, "I'm going to do what God wants me to do. If I perish, I perish." And then you think of these and others were of the Old Testament fame. But then we come to the New Testament, where we find Mary, the mother of Jesus. We find the mother and the grandmother of that man, Timothy, who fell heir to the ministry of the great Apostle Paul. We think of the Syrophoenician woman, who without a promise held on to her request to Jesus Christ until he healed her daughter. Then you think of those mothers who brought their children to Jesus in the face of the criticism even of Christ's own apostles. You think of Mary and her spikes of nard. Dorcas, whose fame was derived from the fact that she was a needlewoman. And now Jesus, as you look into the Bible, was always tender with women. For a woman, he broke the power of death that held her son and gave him back to his widowed mother. For another woman, he cast out 7 devils and made her one of the jewels of his following. For another woman, he raised her brother Lazarus, who lived at Bethany, from the dead, who by the time the Lord got there had been dead 3 days in that hot country, and the decay had set in until they said, "By this time, he stinketh." And one of the last concerns that he expressed when dying on an unthinkable cross was as he looked down at John and said, "Son, remember thy mother. Mother, remember thy son." And he turned his own flesh and blood mother to the care of the Apostle John. And not only is the Bible filled with tribute to women in general and mothers in particular, but all literature is more beautiful simply because the human race has had and revered motherhood. Rudyard Kipling wrote, "If I were hanged on the highest hill, mother o' mine, oh mother o' mine, I know whose love would reach up to me still. Mother o' mine, oh mother o' mine, if I were drowned in the deepest sea, mother o' mine, oh mother o' mine, I know whose tears would come down to me. Mother o' mine, oh mother o' mine, If I were damned, both body and soul, Mother, O mine, O Mother, O mine, I know whose prayers would make me all whole. Mother, O mine, O Mother, O mine. And I think one of the truest and the best things said about her is my text. Her children shall rise up to call her blessed, and her husband also, he praiseth her. And so this puts an everlasting crown on her. And it makes you and I realize one of the greatest positions held in this world is a true and a proper mother. Today, women are known for their fame as an actress, as a playwright, as an athlete, as a politician, or because they're the daughter of some famous person, or the wife of some famous person. But when a woman looks into a cradle and sees her own flesh and blood there, given to her by an act of the Almighty God, to raise that child up for Him, she has found the everlasting fame and glory that won't fade with a few years. I think of some of the women that are in the limelight today. What's it going to be 25 or 35 years from now? Some of you precious women that are sitting here will excel them as much as the heavens would excel this earth. Don't for a moment belittle your position as a mother under the inspiration of God. But you see, Whistler's most famous painting was that of his mother. Lincoln said, "All I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my darling mother," who incidentally was a stepmother, "and to the Bible." And then you think, I read one of the leading diplomats had this to say, "Give this world a generation of conscientious Christian mothers, and everything will change for the good." Everything will change for the good. Now, my own mother was a little woman. She never was healthy. She had several very serious illnesses, and some of them looked like it would take her life. I had her say to me one time, "Son, if I'd have just known, I wouldn't have been afraid to die because I hadn't given birth to you yet. And I had to give birth to you." But I think of her and how she had so many deep sorrows. Among them, she was widowed at the age of 36. With 7 children at home, the oldest 16. A $5 bill after expenses were paid, and lost it on the way to put my father's body away. But she survived all of these things, and she lived until most of her early friends and loved ones had departed this life. And she would always, in spite of everything, dry her tears and turn to the Bible for comfort. She became a mother. She became a grandmother. She became a great-grandmother. And doubtless a great Greek. And possibly a great, great, great grandmother. Because she lived to be 93. She had seen the best part of it all. She had seen practically every one of them have the blessing of the new birth to come to their lives. She spent her years, as mothers do, keeping house, cooking, sewing, being nursemaid and doctor, counselor and protector, and above everything, teaching them how to pray and lifting her own voice to God in their behalf. That was one of the things that stuck me when I got out into the world and faced what the youth faces in schools, even then, what they're horribly facing today. And when I began to think, well, is there a God? I remember one day as several of us men were talking, and the subject is God. Is there a God? And some of the men said one thing and some another, and I usually had my mouth open, but I got kind of quiet. So one of them turned to me and said, "What about it, Hill? Do you believe there's a God?" And I thought of those days when I'd heard my mother pray. And I said, "Yes, I believe there's a God." And one of them stopped and turned to me and said, "What, Hill? You believe in God the way you're living?" About 3 months after that, I knew the Lord as my own personal Savior. And life changed so drastically. But this was the thing that held me. And in her old age, she carried on alone, sitting in a wheelchair for 29 years, but living alone. She didn't raise any doctors. There are no illustrious lawyers, educators, politicians, and such like that she could boast are my children. But I'll tell you what she did. She pointed every last one of them to the living God. And when she went to be with the Lord, I preached her funeral. And the director said to me, he said, "Brother Hill, I have conducted many thousand funerals. I never heard a sermon like that one." You see, I knew who my mother was. I rose up and called her blessed. Isn't that wonderful? Yes. You think about it. Who is it that knows just what to do when things go wrong and life looks blue? Who is it sings amid her care and smiles when shadows bring despair? Who is it through her changeless day, unchanging goals her fateful way? Who is it keeps the light, the home, still sweet howe'er her loved ones roam? Mother. Who is it wins the crown she wears when love lays wreaths upon gray hairs and joys on wings of softest gleam leads home her little ships of dream? Who is it, though she goes not down each day to business in the town, still lifts her burden, toils her share, fulfills her trust, and meets her care? Mother. Now, all honor to that mother who, in the midst of great discouragement, presses on. I've known mothers whose husbands were not as high as a dog. I remember years ago a man was speaking to me of the psalm. Said, He hath made him a little lower than the angels. And he said, Brother Hill, and a little lower than a hog. A hog can go out here and wallow in the mire and the filth. That is a stench that would almost bring you to vomit. But man can go lower than that in his morals. And I've known men like this who had wonderful Christian wives. Oh, that husband couldn't begin if he were the richest, the cleverest, the most brilliant, the most powerful, he couldn't begin to do for his children what that mother was doing for his children. And I've seen some precious women crack under it. But I've seen others win. As they've stood, they've won. And I'd advise you, anyone that's here, and you've got a marriage that isn't working, and there's trouble, and the husband will not go with God, and sometimes it's the reverse. But let me encourage you, go with God. After all is said and done, you'll be glad that you did. Now, if one is to be worthy of our text, then she must be willing to fulfill special conditions that the Bible teaches. And I'm not going to dwell on many of them, but I would call your attention to two quickly. First, I say she must realize the responsibility of children. Let me tell you, that sweet thing that you gave birth to has a destiny. And that destiny is heaven or hell. Now you make up your mind, that's the way it is. You can listen to some half-brained beast tell you otherwise, but you make sure this book very clearly states there's a heaven, and very clearly states there's a hell. And you know, right here in this life, I've seen people who were living in the borderland of both of them. There are men and women in this world today who are already getting a foretaste of hell. And I'll tell you, there are some of us that are already getting a foretaste of heaven. And sometimes it seems that I can all but feel the wings playing on my shoulders, ready to take off. It's going to happen. You're going to see it happen. Someone said to me last night after the wedding, well, Brother Hill, we'll see you in another year. I said, you might not see me another 5 minutes. Another year. Well, I got up this morning and I said, well, I'd just like to go home today. Never been over there yet. Well, I mustn't get into that because I'll get real emotional, and I get kind of fanatic when I get on that subject because my mind has been occupied with that place for about 45 years. And it's becoming so real that it's more real than anything that's around you. Don't tell me there's no heaven. And if Jesus meant it when he said there was a heaven, I'll tell you he meant it when he said there was a hell. But mothers ought to feel this responsibility. And you see, when the end comes, material things won't greatly matter. And a mother who has no vision of eternity and gives her child all of the ambitions and the visions of this world, I say, the mother who sees only human possibilities is not worthy of the name. A child may fill an honored and a famous place in society, and yet, like Ahasuerus, be taught to do wickedly, and then fall into the hands of a living God. Hannah prayed like this. She said, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have given him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." Isn't that a wonderful thing? That you want your child from the earliest time to be in the service of the Lord. Oh, I want my child to be this. I want him to be that. I want her to be this. I've seen mothers who would give their daughters dancing lessons and things of that nature. Listen to me. They'll find it out. And the devil will get a hold of them without you teaching them. You think of what we've slipped to and what the thinking of America is in the world today. Isn't it an amazing thing that when the communists took over South Vietnam, they closed all the brothels and such places that our government demanded to be opened. Now you can say what you want to. The God who sits in the heavens don't look down and see you as a great prize because you happen to be American. World's got to find that out. We're special favored, the Jew said, because we're a Jew. And he got away from God. We're special favored, America has said for a long time. And the rot is setting in. Next thought, when should we begin to train our children from the Lord? I read the results of a conference on motherhood, and one of the mothers said that time to raise a child for God was the age of 4. Another one got up and said, his Christian training should begin when he starts to walk. Another one got up and said the Christian training should begin when the child begins to speak its first words. But an elderly mother got up and she said, "You are all wrong. The time to begin is the generation before that child is born." And I say, amen. you that are here that are mothers or would be mothers. And if you can't be mothers, this doesn't exclude you. Let me tell you, it has been truly said, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the nation. You observe it, and you'll find out that that's true. I have known many cases where the father was, like I said a few moments, just a no good, a wastrel, wicked, given to the devil. And yet with a Christian mother, those children were won. But I haven't known very many where it was reversed, where the children walked with God. Very few children live for God when the mother wouldn't. Then I think of that time when a Sunday school teacher was describing Jesus without mentioning his name to her little Sunday school class. And she spoke of several things. For an example, she said, this person is very loving. She said, this person is very kind. She said, this person is very forgiving. This person is very understanding. This person loves you all the time. And when she got to that place, a little boy stuck up his head. He said, I know who it is. It's my mother. Would you like for your little boy to think of you that way, or your little girl to think of you that way, or your husband to think of you that way, regardless of the devil and the beast he might be? Oh, but my husband don't treat me right, so I'm just going to give him a few knocks too. You're in a losing game. No one ever won that way. I think of the people who treasure bitterness and ill will. I don't care what my brother has done to me. The Word of God still declares love to all the saints. Is there someone that you don't love? I'm going to heaven with all of God's people someday. And I'm so glad that He's put a love in my heart for Him now. Now, I don't agree with all of God's people, and if I found that you departed the book, if I had to, I'd depart you for the book. But I'd love you as I went my way and pray that God, in His mercy, would open your eyes and help you to know the facts. But when John Wesley was a small boy, his house burned down. He was just a little child. It was a large family. And the dad and the mother got them all out but little John Wesley. And when the mother tried to go back for John, the house was flames, and the stairway was flames. And she burned her hair and her face and her skin, getting out what she did. And when it looked hopeless, she looked up and saw that little child face looking out the window. And she fell to her knees and cried to God. 3 men stood on one another's shoulders and made a pyramid of 3 high. And one of them could just barely reach over the sill and get that child and lift him out. You see, she wouldn't let God go.
What if that woman would have refused to pray?
You know what the great Methodist Church meant to this world in an earlier generation? John Wesley rode his horse, an itinerant preacher, until he was 96. He went his way, spreading the gospel of salvation. A mother would not turn loose. The men said they never would have tried that if it hadn't have been how the mother cried out to God. And the mother of Newton prayed. I told you about him. He was a slave of a slave who put the motto on his desk and on his wall and on his mantle: "Thou shalt remember that thou wast a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God hath redeemed thee." But she prayed for that boy, and she knew, and he knew, the kind of a mother she was. And though she left him at the age of 7, she had put in that child enough of the seed of the things of God that finally, in a desperate storm at sea, John Newton got on his knees and got saved. Became one of the great preachers of a past generation. Monica prayed for a wayward son. And if you want to read the history of a man who was the vilest of the vile, read the history of St. Augustine. He had a praying mother, and she brought him to God. I read of a man who became a gambler and a drunkard, and he fell to the lowest of the low. Finally, a derelict and a bit of flotsam in the human race. One day he staggered to his almost barren hovel of a room and decided he would end it all. And he stumbled and he fell toward his bed, and he jarred the wall, and a book upon the shelf fell, struck him in the head, and he got up in his drunken stupor and flung it across the room, and suddenly realized it was his mother's Bible. He went over and picked it up, and the hand of God had turned it to this page. "Dear Ben, you cannot get away from your mother's prayers." And he got on his knees and got saved, and later found out, while he was getting saved on that west coast yonder, at that very hour, his mother in prayer had got the answer from God on the east coast. He was like billions of others. He rose up and called her blessed. Let's pray. Solemn time, thoughtful time, a searching time. Oh God, may He give you the courage to face it like it is. Then if you want my prayers, slip your hand up and take it down again. Father, we're so grateful for the response this precious day that's dedicated to mothers. And we're so thankful that in this assembly, there are mothers that are rich in their heritage for God. We pray for children who might abuse and be evil to their mother. Oh God, in Jesus' name, speak to every heart and to every life.
We'll praise you now and forever. Amen.